You're coming to Waypoint, by the way. My name's Blair, welcome. In the middle of a series that we're calling Frayed. And we chose that because that's how we think stress can make people feel at times, just bringing them apart at the seams. And so we talked week one about how you're not going to stop it. Like, stress is a part of our lives, but we manufacture a lot of it. We extend its life. We do some things that are not good choices that then cause us to ride this constant strain of stress. And so we talked about, man, finding a way to back off that. Last week, we talked about a way we manufacture it, where we control things. We want to control the outcomes. We want to have so much control about stuff that it stresses us out. And we talked about the need for contentment in our life. That's not caring. That's not having any goals or any drive or any purpose. It's about understanding that while you're driving, while you have goals, while you have purpose, that the place you are is where God has placed you. And instead of comparing yourself to other people, you could find rest, contentment, because you don't understand that God may have you there for something for his kingdom or for your character to be developed. And so we find contentment, and it battles stress in our lives. Today, the song you just heard introduces where we're headed. This idea that if we could, we would take some relief from our stress, which is kind of ironic because I think we live in a culture that is so addicted to stress that we seek it out at times for our value and purpose. Like, if we can tell everybody everything that we're doing, it sounds like that level of busyness proves that we're doing something of value. And yet, at the same time, we would like to have some relief from that kind of life. I think the lyrics are pretty strong in the song. It talks about where stress comes from. It talks about responses. And it has this, like, this repeating urge that I wish I could just find some relief. If I could find some relief for my stress, that would be really great. But what I hear in that song when he says that is that really what he's hoping for is just some temporary relief, which is the way I think most of us think about it. If I were to use words right out of our culture right now that you hear people talking about a lot, you would hear people talking about self-care. And what it is it's things that you can do that take care of yourself in the moment, but almost all of them are temporary in nature. And they assume that you're not actually going to change the underlying stress that you're experiencing. You're just going to get some relief for a little while from it. In fact, this is the kind of thinking. I'm going to pull a line that I just loved out of the song. I wrote it down to make sure I got it right. It says, I live my life on the edge. I don't want the meds. I'm just trying to get relief from my stress. And I thought, I think he just described our culture to a T. Like, how many of you, if you were honest, would say, I live my life on the edge? And I know the common belief among a lot of people is, I don't want meds for this. If I could just get some temporary relief, if I could find some relief from the stress, I'll take that and everything will be okay because I can ride it out. I can do okay. I can make it through this. And we take these little hits of temporary relief because we don't want to do anything bigger. We don't want medication. We don't want to do something big. We just want relief from the stress. Here's my opinion. I think that idea of seeking out temporary relief is only making things worse. It's not allowing us to actually address the underlying thing that's going on. All we do is get some temporary relief from it so we feel better in the moment, but we still stick with this thing that's suffocating us. By the way, I keep mentioning this every week But that is a recipe for disaster because it has health consequences. I thought I would put them on the screen so that you knew exactly what I was talking about. This is a list off of the Mayo Clinic's website of all the stuff that they've been able to link to you and I living on stress. Temporary stress, no, that's no big deal. It comes, you feel stress, it goes away, no big deal. Constant stress, constant strain has all of these kind of things that go with it. None of them are good, but some of them are serious. And yet we've become comfortable, almost to the point of, yeah, we're fine as long as we got a little self-care. Now listen, I'm not down on self-care as an idea. There is some evidence that even some brief temporary moments of pause in the chaotic lives that we lead are a good thing. But I'm not convinced it's enough, and I don't think it's the way God made you to live. I think it takes us in the wrong direction. And in fact, I think as I've watched what's happened in our culture and even in the lives of people in our church, I would tell you that what we're going to talk about this morning, I knew as soon as we picked the stress series that I would have to address this topic, not in an attempt to create more shame in people's lives. There's already enough. The reason I feel the need to address this is because we are so amped up on stress that we live our lives this way for so long that we seek some sort of relief. And honestly, we create a cycle out of it. We create a cycle where some stress happens, we seek relief. And that relief comes, and so we get excited about that, but we've never really dealt with the underlying stress. And so as we feel like we kind of beat it a little bit, the stress comes back and we just keep going and going and going. The way people write about this is they call it self-medication. It's just, we just medicate ourselves. And in the church, I think it's true. I think maybe as a group of people, the number of conversations I've had with people, even over things they probably should be on medication for, they don't want. They don't want that. I don't want medication. I don't want to take any medication to control this stuff in my life. But people make other choices instead to get relief from their stress. And the self-medicating choice that they make feels good in the moment and then eventually snares them in a cycle. I actually found a poem that I want to have read this morning. This was not written by a professional writer. You're not going to find it published anywhere. I've asked Tracy to read it, not because it's going to win a Pulitzer Prize, but because I think what it has going for it is it's true. And there's, like, it's a guy who sometimes tries too hard to rhyme and all of that sort of thing. If you can just ignore that stuff and listen to the heart of what's being communicated in this poem, I think you'll find some value in it.
Self-medication. One second. Self-medication. July 17th, 2019. I have self-medicated. Sorry. For 45 years. Let's review. That's a long time for not having a clue. So, what comes to your mind? He must mean drink, not my medication. You still have to think? That's not it. Well, then it must be smoke, not my medication. but that's a funny joke. There are those who turn to fitness for their drug. Not my medication. I'd be better off with a hug. Anger is an ugly one. People with it just seem to yell, "Not my medication." People hurt all over, and they may not be well. Then there's physical touch, screw everything in sight. Not my medication. That's a way you will not find the light. So I showed it could have been worse. Everyone may have a curse. Finding yours is up to you. Look at your biggest clue. My medication is simple. It's comfort food when I'm sad. But I make up for it with comfort food when I'm glad. This is changing as I speak. Writing about it brings such relief. I feel like my boat is no longer on that reef. I believe, so pray with me. It can't be changed alone. I'm not gonna let this be. The seed for change has now been sown.
Robert, the writer of that poem, is feeling some momentum at the end of that, which is my hope for you. It's not to do some sort of pile on that makes anybody feel worse. I'm hoping that you'll have your eyes open and you'll consider the choices that you're making in face of the stress that you feel, and that if you need to adjust course, you will. To help with that, I want you to know something that Paul thought was important to tell the church in Corinth. It was about who they were and how God was dealing with them, and it's true for you. So I want you to get this picture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says this: "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?" See, if you've decided to follow Jesus, your body becomes this place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Before, it was in temples and tabernacles and all of these places. God was trying to get close. How close is he now? The verse goes on and says, "Who is in you, whom you've received from God." How close? With you. It means when you go to class, when you go to your job, when you go home, when you do the activities that you do every day, when you do your chores, God is with you, walking with you, a part of everything that you do. And then he goes on and he adds this in verse 20. "You were bought at a price." Like, there was a sacrifice that was made for this gift of the Holy Spirit to be present with you. This cost something. So he says, "Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Honor God with your bodies. Why? Because it's true that everywhere you take him, everywhere you go, you take him, right? All the good stuff. But it also means all the stuff that you do that's not helpful for your life, you're dragging the Holy Spirit along through that stuff too. And he's there, present, wanting to help. Look, if you've ever had any kind of question about how loved you are by God, all you have to do is understand that he loves you so much, he's with you. He gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell you so that wherever you're at, you have support, you have guidance, you have comfort, you have a resource right there with you. And yet, I think what happens is when we run into stress, stress that overwhelms, stress that kind of pressures us, we forget that the presence of the Holy Spirit is there to help. What's kind of interesting about that poem at the end, he said, you know, you're not going to do this alone. And it's true, you're not. We will not beat the impact of stress in our lives alone, but you were never meant to be alone. The Holy Spirit is with you, goes with you. I was actually, I was listening to a counselor who was talking about how the practice of counseling has changed over the years. And I have lived long enough that I actually remember each one of these phases. It's kind of, so back in the 80s, 90s, if you went to see a counselor, you went to talk to somebody to find out what was right and what was wrong. And then they were going to help you try to get on the right path. And that was the whole nature of the counseling, what's right, what's wrong. And that's what the conversations were about. And they were finding that people were so overwhelmed with a sense of guilt and shame from those kind of conversations that they weren't seeing people make very much progress. And so towards the late 90s into early 2000s, I started hearing, and I thought, I don't know how this is going to go. But they started saying, at least this is the reasoning. We don't want people to focus on the shame. We got to focus on getting healed. So we're going to start referring to the things that they're coming and talking to us about as diseases. You have a disease. Like, you didn't do anything to get it, but now you can seek treatment for it so that you don't have any shame. You can kind of move through this and get to the other side. But what they found was that people were saying, well, if I can just catch this disease without doing anything on my own, what good is it for me to get treatment? It could just come back on its own. Like, I don't have any control. And the lack of any responsibility kind of killed this. And it kind of caused a shift in counseling to what it is today. And what it is today is somebody will come in with some sort of issue going on in their life, and the counselor will talk about that, and then they'll ask and try to get to the thing below the thing. What's actually happening that's causing the choices that you're making? What beliefs do you have? How are you thinking? What's going on? What have you accumulated as experiences in your life that are now causing you to react and to respond this way? And this at least makes sense to me, because I see this playing out with people and stress all the time. There's an underlying issue that they have with stress, and they seek temporary relief of some sort. And that temporary relief seems to work initially. But you never solve the underlying issue. You never even address the underlying issue. You never even thought about the underlying issue. And so it comes back. And when it comes back, you reach back out for that thing that gave relief. And you keep doing it. And pretty soon, because our culture is so addicted to stress, people swap out one addiction for another. And they trade these problems all the time. What you're doing while you do that is you're bringing the Holy Spirit with you into a process where you think you're getting temporary relief, and instead something else is happening. Because the cycles continue, and it goes over and over and over to the point where this is what happens. I hear this word a lot with younger people, but it's starting to be more broadly written about across our culture. People are becoming numb. What they're okay with is if I just can go without feeling anything, I'll be better off than what I feel right now. So if I can numb myself, I'll be good. I won't feel the stress. I won't feel the pressure. I won't feel the desire to impress anyone. I'll just be numb. But the problem is, in the process of you numbing yourself, the voice of the Holy Spirit gets numbed out too. The presence of God, who's with you on a daily basis to impact your life, is now muted out as well. And we think we're making progress in all we've done. Is create a cycle where we're trapped. There's actually a solution to this. You won't like it. I can speak with some confidence about that because I've had to do this in my own life, and I do not like it. But it's actual self-care. Actual self-care is you changing something about your life or changing something about your schedule in a way that honors God. It's not a temporary thing. It's a permanent shift. Like, I'm not going to keep doing this thing that I'm doing that's getting me this result. But for many of us, we're not even considering kind of permanent changes because we're caught in the temporary ones. And we're thinking, if we can just get a temporary, like, relief from this, then I can live with this stress. You can. It's harming you. It's dulling your ability to actually listen to what God has for you. He wants your life to flourish with incredible things that He's made you to do. In the presence of overwhelming, constant stress, you will not reach the capabilities that God created you to reach. You won't. They dull you. I was having this happen in my life. I actually only realized it because I started feeling physical symptoms that were fairly serious. And it was the first time in my life this thought crossed my mind. I thought, I think I might be doing stuff that shortens my life. I don't know if I want to live this way. But you know why it was difficult to change? I did. I made some really difficult changes, but you want to know what I wrestled with while I was doing it? I had adopted a view that the culture holds. That if you want to be a man, you just put up with the stress and you deal with it. You tough it out. You get to the end of it. And I was going, man, I can't handle it. I think I've got to make a change. And I was wrestling with what that says about, like, manhood and all that kind of stuff. And what I needed was for the Holy Spirit to speak into my life. And you know what was weird? I changed my schedule. I instituted a Sabbath. I started doing some stuff that just made more sense with how God created me to be, and all of that physical stuff went away. I still experience stress. I don't experience it at the level that I've had in the past because I decided to make a permanent change based on how God made me to be. It's not easy. It's not fast. But most of the boundaries that we need to put in place for our lives aren't fast. It's like somebody coming to me and saying, listen, I've really made a mess in my financial life. I'm going to get on a budget for 2 weeks and straighten this out. You're like, two years? I mean, 2 weeks is not going to get the job done. And yet, that is often how we deal with stress. It's kind of funny. I read you what Paul wrote to this church in Corinth. But before he got to that little section of scripture, he actually tells them what their attitude is. And it sounds very American. It's not. It's Roman. But they sound like us. And he quotes them. This is verse 12 of the same chapter 6. He says this. This is how they were talking. I have the right to do anything you say. Tell me that doesn't sound like our culture. I have the right to do anything. And in Christ, they had found freedom. Look, I can do whatever. I can have a crazy, hectic life. I can have all of these vices. It's no problem. I have freedom. And Paul adds, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything's beneficial to your life. It's not beneficial to my kingdom. It's not beneficial to your character. It's why the Holy Spirit is with you to inform you when you're crossing those boundaries. What, hey, you could do that. This is not going to benefit your life. He goes on and he repeats the statement, I have the right to do anything. Remember, he's talking about people who were coming out of Roman slavery. They were slaves, had finally earned their freedom, and they wanted to act on that freedom. You can understand why they would feel this way. But he says to them, but I will not be mastered by anything. Yeah, you're free. You're free. Your freedom was bought with a price. But we have allowed all kinds of things to master our lives. Stress is one of them. It owns us. It shapes how we do things, why we do things, where we go, what we do, what we say. And sometimes our response to that stress, in an effort to find relief from our stress, we create whole other addictions, other things that master us. The song had a whole list of things. Had a list of what? Food. There was, I think I wrote them down here. Food, sex. Can we put up that screen? Alcohol, drugs. Yeah, there it is. I was doing a little research. And 27% of people who say they find a way to self-medicate and would admit it, 27% of them said they use drugs and alcohol. And I suspect that's a high number, but I suspect that's lower because I think a lot of people do it and don't think the way they use it is a problem. But if you're using it as a crutch to escape, there's a problem. But I want you to notice something. That means that there's 73% of other things that people are doing. Shopping, caffeine, gaming, gambling. The list is unending because we find a lot of creative ways to find relief from our stress. And in the process of doing so, we enslave ourselves to something that kills us. We become mastered by these things in our lives that capture us. My friends, you are going to face stress. I don't know any other way to do that. But you have a tool within you, a weapon, the Holy Spirit, who can help you make adjustments, help you evaluate. Should I make a bigger play with my life that stops me from being on the stress train, or do I just find some temporary relief in this moment? And if you're listening, that guidance will protect you. But for many of us, we have been doing some things so long. These habits are in place. They have dulled our ability to even hear the voice of God. And if we were honest, this is partly why I decided that we needed to really talk about this. Is it because if we were honest, the lives of followers of Jesus look no different when it comes to stress than the lives of people who don't know Jesus right now, and something has to change. There has to be some real self-care. You're going to have to make some changes to the way you think, the way you believe, maybe even the way you live, that show up in you having a healthier life where you can actually hear the voice of God who is with you, trying to guide you. It's a choice that you get to make. Band, would you make your way up here? Would the rest of you pray with me now, please? God, I think there are some in the crowd that identified something right away when I said self-medication. When they heard that poem, like something jumped out to them. Where they're using some sort of temporary relief to escape from the pressure that they feel. And they know it. And God, the goal isn't to find some way to cause them to feel guilty about that. It's to get them to consider, why don't I bring this to you? Like, you're with me. You know what I'm facing. You know what I'm up against. Is there anything that I could do that's different than what I'm doing right now that would either bring me some relief and not ensnare me in this trap that I'm in? God, there are some people who are, like, they've been doing this so long, stuff has got them. Like, they couldn't break from the alcohol without help. They can't get off the website without help. I just ask that you would give them the courage to seek it, to find a trusted friend and say, listen, I've been seeking relief in a way that's not helpful for my life, and now I feel trapped. Will you help me? God, may we be the kind of people who can support each other through this stuff. Not that we make each other feel bad, but we have a culture that is so stressed out. Our attempt to escape it has caused us to be masters of so many things. Will you give us the courage to be honest with ourselves about what's mastering us? And will we return to you, the one who loves us, the one who wants to give us real freedom, real hope, who wants to give us lives that flourish, that experience abundance and greatness? God, may we take self-care seriously and make some adjustments to our schedules, to our lives that honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen.